Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.
Right, let's get Michael O'Leary out of the way because we've had a lot of talk about him yesterday on this radio station and others, and he's the front page of a lot of the papers as well. So the Irish Independent goes with outrage grows over Michael O'Leary's rapist comments. Ryanair boss Michael O'Leary has faced broad criticism for refusing to back down on comparing other airlines with rapists over their pricing. The Irish Independent has interviewed rape survivor Ciara Mangan, who says Mr. O'Leary should issue a public apology. The Irish Daily Mirror and The Star have interviewed rape survivor Fiona Doyle, who has slammed Michael O'Leary's rant yesterday, and she says, "Sit down with me and say sorry." Speaking of her anger at his abuse of that word, she called for the Ryanair boss to apologise and meet her to listen, understand and learn. And Fiona says, "I won't be stepping foot on a Ryanair flight until you apologise." Well, if the goal yesterday by Michael O'Leary was to get publicity, he certainly achieved that goal. Elsewhere, the front of the Irish Daily Star, Monk Son's gangland charges. Jerry the Monk Hutch's son was flown to Ireland on the government jet yesterday to face charges of facilitating a criminal organisation. And Jason Hutch, who's age 37, appeared before Dublin District Court after being flown in from Lanzarote on the government jet yesterday. The Irish Sun on the front page, "I'll tell her all about you, I promise," is the heartbreaking headline. Hit and run toddler Peter Mulcair's sister is tenderly placed on his coffin after being christened at his funeral. I mean, just heartbreaking scenes. And parents Kerry and James brought the christening forward so that Delilah's tragic sibling could be part of her big day. So she's christened on top of her brother, of her toddler brother's coffin yesterday. Peter died after a collision near his home in Rathkeel, and his mother Kerry said, "I'll tell her all about you, my baby boy, I promise." God, that nearly moved me to tears. It's just so upsetting. That's the front of the Sun this morning. The Irish Daily Mail, "Women's GAA should get equal funding." That's according to Simon Harris, who yesterday rejected an argument by GAA President Jarlath Burns, who said plans to integrate the men's and women's games had stalled because of the costs of running senior inter-county teams. Basically, Simon Harris says the GAA has to find a way to fund men and women's games equally. The Irish Times has an interview with Health Minister Jennifer Carl McNeill, and she says that there is concern about Irish politicians trying to interfere in the state's process for funding expensive and rare drugs. Basically, she's saying politicians should stay out of drug approvals. It's not appropriate for politicians to be getting involved. Jennifer Carl McNeill says TDs and senators are lawmakers and legislators, and they should be aware of the need to keep the HSE's drug approval process stable and predictable. Also, the Irish Times says Ireland is at the centre of a horsemeat inquiry. Haven't heard of horsemeat in a while, but Ireland is at the centre of a big international investigation into how horsemeat, unfit for human consumption, entered the food chain. There were big raids in the country earlier in the week in Ireland. Searches took place in Galway, Kilkenny, Tipperary, Kildare, Dublin and Donegal. Europol officers were deployed to the Irish and Belgian searches as well, and they were checking the identity of 1,000 horses. The Irish Examiner goes with the Trump visit, disruptive protests from fringe extreme elements and interference from hostile foreign states are among the main threats that security services are braced for during Donald Trump's visit this weekend. And investigations are continuing into a possible sighting of what has been described as a large black drone off the County Wicklow coast on Tuesday. Inside the paper is staying with the Irish Times. I have to hold my hands up here and say I'm one of the people guilty of this. Fewer than half of people asked knew anything about heat pumps, despite the electric heating systems forming a key part of national climate action plans. This is new research by the ESRI, and it shows that the bar for knowledge about heat pumps is low. I have a heat pump myself and I haven't a clue how it works, to be honest. But people were asked for basic information about heat pumps, such as simply knowing they were routinely installed in new homes. People didn't even know they were a thing. I presume we're talking here about the air-to-water yoke. I presume that's what they mean by a heat pump. 44% could offer any information about heat pumps. A lot of people not aware what they are. They surveyed 1,000 people to try and gauge their attitudes. And one of those said that 26% of people intended to retrofit, but 23% had no interest in doing so, as they didn't want any disruption to their house. So they go, ah yeah, I'd love a bit of retrofitting, but I don't want any upheaval to my house. Couple of final stories for you. I see that Princess Diana's revenge dress is up for auction. This is in The Star. And you just know who's going to buy this. Kim Kardashian is absolutely going to buy this dress. Princess Diana's famous revenge dress is up for sale. And this is, in case you don't remember, how could you forget? This is the black gown that she wore the night her then husband, Prince Charles, publicly admitted his infidelity on national TV. So she looked $1 million that night, and images went around the world of her emerging from the car at some event. And the outfit is expected to fetch €250,000 when it goes up for auction later this year. I think Camilla wore her own black revenge dress maybe a few weeks afterwards. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Certainly not as famous as Princess Diana's one, but you can buy it if you've a spare quarter of a million. Final story comes from the Times of London. I love talking about WhatsApp groups, and I'm sure parents love them as well, particularly the parents' WhatsApp group for schools. And the Times of London says adults can't put their phones down. They're flat out pinging messages into the WhatsApp chat, and almost a third of parents surveyed say that they have seen excessive or irrelevant messages in the school WhatsApp group. ParentKind did a survey, and they found that 32% have witnessed this kind of behaviour, where people are putting all sorts of stuff into the WhatsApp groups. Messages range from help to try and find lost PE kits to questions that could swiftly be answered by Google. 1 in 5 in the survey have seen arguments between parents on WhatsApp groups. And in one exchange that has gone viral, a WhatsApp group for parents of a primary school class started arguing because one mother, who really needs to get out more, one mother asked another mother not to put Oreo biscuits in her child's lunch because it made her daughter upset that she couldn't have one. And in a separate case, a couple going through a divorce used the class WhatsApp group to try to sell each other's possessions. That's what you need to outlaw, is the WhatsApp groups in schools. Anyway, those are the stories in the papers.
Breakfast Briefing
with Gallagher, providing business insurance, financial planning solutions and personal insurance nationwide.